week two. We're back, and it is July 27th, and we are recording late, so we're back at it with the podcast. We got Petter here. Petter, what's up?
2 weeks in a row, we are rolling. I feel like we're tying a record here.
That's pretty much a record here at Bat Flip. So, as we know, we're kicking off. This is pretty much the official end of summer. Training camp has gotten underway for the Vikings. The Twins are in meltdown mode, and all's back to normal.
The Minnesota sports are doing well.
Yeah, just about right. So, I guess to start, we'll go with the Twins, who are currently 3-7 in their last 10, and when we're recording, they have an off day today, but they blew a nice little 5-run lead last night to the Dodgers with Irvin on the mound.
Gorgeous. Like you said right before we started, they've lost 7 out of 10, and including a nice, gorgeous sweep with the Dodgers, taking 3 in a row in L.A. We got to see Bartolo bat, which was fun, but they're using this last possible week of contention before the deadline, and they are screwing it all up, and so I am in sell mode 100% at this point.
See, this is what I was saying last week. This is actually kind of validated, but isn't this kind of the perfect scenario, right? Like, okay, before the season started, I said, I just need this team to get me to football season. I just need them to get me to football season. And what do they do? Literally a week before the deadline, they start to shit their pants. And we go from do we buy, do we sell, and potentially like give up some prospects and go for it a little bit to, okay, are we selling Irvin? Are we selling Dozier? What are we doing here? And it's kind of perfect.
Yeah. A week ago they were taking 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. So it was tough. And then they lost a series to Detroit, and then they get swept by the Dodgers. What can you do? But, Josh, they're making moves. They were being smart. They went after Jaime Garcia. But didn't happen the first time around because the prospect, Nick Birdie, the Braves found something with his physical. I'm not sure what the details are.
I think he just got Tommy John.
What's that?
I think he had Tommy John. And he's still coming back from it or something.
Yeah. But they knew that before.
Well, they must have, once you do the physical, he must have not been far enough along.
Fair, I guess. But then they did complete that deal for a different guy, and the Twins ended up getting a bad catcher along with Jaime Garcia.
Now, see, that was kind of weird to me, but now, as of today, we know why they wanted an extra depth catcher.
Right.
And that's where this comes in.
Right. Mr. John Ryan Murphy has left us. I'm actually more excited about this kid than Jaime Garcia. This Gabriel Moria kid. Have you looked at his stats at all?
He's like dealing in the minors, isn't he?
Absolutely. He's been at AA all year. He's 4-1 with a 0.82 ERA and 17 saves.
I mean, that's in AA. And granted, I think, isn't it AA is like the best of the minor leagues, essentially? Like, that's where the real guys are?
Yeah, that's where you keep your legit prospects. Like, okay. Yeah.
So that's cool and all, and that's a great deal. But in hindsight, looking back at it now, how bad is the Aaron Hicks for Murphy?
Terrible. It's not like the Twins outfield is in terrible shape though.
Yeah, but look who we got back, and that was a bad move by. And at the time, it was Terry Ryan, right?
Yes.
So,
yeah, that's one last hurrah.
Hicks is like killing it this year, isn't he?
What's that?
Isn't Hicks killing it this year?
Yeah, he got hurt recently, but he's having a good year, as all Twins fans predicted.
Yeah, he's got 10 homers, batting 290. Yeah, he's and the fancy.
He has one of the best arms in the league. It was so fun watching him throw guys out.
So in the last couple years, we've gave away Denard Span, Ben Revere, and Aaron Hicks, and who did we get back? Anyone? Like anyone that's relevant right now?
I'd have to go back and look, but I'm not.
The problem is we don't know. Like that's, right. that's really fucked up. Right now, I mean, how bad is that trade? Like in the ranks of like Twins trades of the past.
It's right up there.
Yeah, it's not good. Okay, so you're finally with me. Sell, sell, sell. Who is most likely to get moved?
I think Jaime Garcia.
Okay, I'm down for that.
I think it's going to be...
Does he start tomorrow?
I'm not sure, but it's going to be classic HGTV up in here. We're going to buy a house, fix it up a little bit. Hopefully Garcia has a nice start and then ship it off for something better.
Oh, so we're playing House Hunters.
That's exactly right.
I love that reference. I'm looking it up real quick and it looks like tomorrow's starter is Jaime Garcia.
I like it. If he goes 7 strong, that could be really nice.
Do we flip him for arms?
Yes. Decently ready arms, I would say.
Okay, I'm good with that. Who else is up next? Is it Irvin next?
Yes,
most likely. I'm down for that, man. The guys came back down to earth. I was all in on Saitana early on, and then June came, and I don't know if he stopped taking his steroids or what happened, but he came real quick.
Yeah, he looked good. Was it just last night or 2 nights ago? Just last night.
It was last night.
He looked really good, and then he gave up 2 solo shots, and then the whole comeback happened. But
he's always been prone to the long ball, though, right?
Yeah, I really like his stuff this year, and like he's obviously outperformed what my expectations were for sure.
Well, the problem is he's going to be, 35 next year in the last year of his deal? Like,
yeah.
By the time we're in contention, he won't be part of the deal. He won't be part of the process.
Right. It would be really nice to get something.
And that's only, okay, we're in a good spot here. Because if we don't get a good deal from him, so what? We keep him. We got him for next year. But if there's a good deal, and hopefully with him under contract for another year, it's a better deal than we would expect. Hopefully we get something back for it. I would like probably 2 pitching prospects.
Yeah.
A high one and a mid one?
Yep, that sounds about right. And I'd say the Yankees are going through rotation injuries. The Nationals are going through rotation injuries. Clayton Kershaw just went on the shelf for a month. Like, these guys are wanting top arms, and Santana's had the year to maybe fill one of those spots.
Is there any other top arms on the market?
Mr. Sonny Gray is on the list, probably at the top of the list.
We were talking about how we may trade for Sonny Gray. Now we're selling. Right.
Yeah, it was 5 days ago. Yu Darvish, his name's been thrown around. He'd just be a rental. I think that was last night too. He gave up 10 runs, so that didn't help his case at all. But he's probably the best pitcher on the list of possible sells, but I'd say Sonny Gray is the most likely to leave.
Okay. So, right now they're 6 back of the division, probably, 4 back at least of a wild card. And it's not looking great for the boys.
Nope, time to get out.
But it's perfect timing. It really is. Now we can sell without having to question ourselves.
Right.
And hopefully the new regimen in the front office can now do something with it in the offseason.
Right.
Yep. This is a big, big, big offseason.
Huge. They've impressed me so far, and if they can keep things ascending, it'll be golden.
Yeah. Especially now we got – the White Sox are going to be good for the next couple of years. They're kind of rebuilding. The Tigers are a complete mess.
I'd say the White Sox are going to be the team in the next 3-4 years.
I could use some White Sox. Hey, man, back in the day when the Twins were rocking, I was playing the White Sox and Paul Konerko. I need that in my life.
So. They got to get the rivalry back up. It's kind of weird having the Indians and the Royals sitting atop the Central the past couple of years.
I know, growing up, and those teams were the bottom feeders. The Royals, like, I remember, honestly, as a kid, like, watching the Twins against the Royals, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, there's two out of three.
Right. Oh, at least.
All they had was this hothead named, who was it, Greinke?
He was with the Royals.
And he was, like, a total hothead. He still is, but he was, like, a psycho at the time.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, let's move down to Mankato. The Vikings wrapped up their first full day of training camp today, and true to Vikings fashion, we got a couple injuries. And serious, but Riley Reif, I think he pronounces the last name. I think it's Reif or Reif. Got carted off. I don't think it's serious. I think usually when you associate golf cart and injuries in football, it's like, okay, ACL tear out for the year. I don't think it's anything like that, but you see that and you're just like, okay, like, this was our big free agent acquisition, and now literally under 2 hours into training camp and he's getting carted off. It's just not a good sight.
Yeah.
Adam Thielen was taken off for a second, but I guess he was back on the jugs machine later, so that's not a huge deal. Literally two, like, high profile names now in Vikings.
Yeah. Our Detroit Lakes boy.
Yeah. He's a Northern mini boy. He's a 218er. Other than that, we got Teddy Bridgewater talked for the first time in almost a year today. Nothing shocking, nothing breaking. It was pretty run of the mill stuff. We still don't know when he's going to be back. He says takes a day at a time, blah blah blah. So that was today, and then also Latavius Murray still on the PUP. He had surgery 6 days after he signed with us. He's supposed to be back for camp, but he's behind schedule. So that makes me think Dalvin's got to be in the driver's seat to start.
Yeah, he's gonna be. He might be the workhorse.
Which I'm cool with. Like, this guy was supposed to be a first round pick. He had a couple red flags. He dropped a little bit, and I'm ecstatic. The Vikings took him.
He is going to be fun to watch. I have a question for you.
What's up?
How did, like, this, the PUP list?
Yep.
So is he like already automatically out for several weeks, or do they get to, like,
you can revisit? You can activate him before. I think it's just a start. I'm not exactly sure on the whole thing, but if you start the season on the PUP list, you're out until at least week six.
Okay. Gotcha. But so what's the point of putting these guys on it?
Yeah, him being on today doesn't mean that yet.
Okay.
So it's not very worrisome. And I think that's why with Teddy, they didn't have his fifth year extension kicked in, because I was reading somewhere something, if he goes on the PUP, like, that contract year doesn't kick in or something. There's a lot of legal bullshit that goes in it, but it'll be interesting to see if he's on PUP to start the year. But right now, the more kind of the eye-opening one is Latavius Murray still not on the field, and the free agent running back who's got a 3-year deal, but we can essentially cut him pretty easily after one. Like, that guy needs to get on the field.
Yeah, we definitely need to see him do something.
We got lucky with Dalvin Cook, and we I mean, from all reports, that guy's going to be legit from the start. So, and the cool thing about training camp and preseason games is we're probably going to get to see him a pretty decent amount. So,
going back to Teddy, the thing I read just today, which I hadn't heard before, is that people were, like, doctors were saying, like, he's lucky to have his leg.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No. They're going to cut his leg off?
He had, like, it was so bad right afterwards, and that's why there was an dude, usually they don't rush ambulances in after an injury like that. They were, like, after that injury happened, they had to ASAP get an ambulance there and everything. Like, yeah, he was pretty close to losing his leg, which is, like, the most Vikings injury ever.
Yeah, like, what can happen at football practice that makes you lose your leg? Like, there's not, like, a shark biting it or something.
No, and the sick thing was, this was a non-contact injury, dude. He just stuck his foot in the ground. How sick is that?
Unbelievable. Like, I never knew, like, it was that serious. I thought he just like tore something.
I think they're playing it up a little bit, but I mean, there was a good potential possibility that our quarterback of the future, who we haven't felt this way about quarterback since Dante was running around.
Barb. You know,
we think this is going to be the year, like, this is going to be our season. And then he drops back, does a play action pass, takes his foot in the ground and collapses. So he almost loses a leg off a non-contact injury. And then our coach is damn near blind. It's just the most, like, I'm so desensitized to these injuries now, but it's just like, damn, dude, like,
yeah,
one time for me, let's be somewhat healthy. And no team's healthy in the NFL. It's just not happening. Especially now, okay, did you see this whole concussion issue coming up?
No, what's that?
So they did a study for CTE on NFL players' brains that have since passed away, and they've been donated. Out of 100, I think it was 111 or something, 110, it was something in that range. Out of 110 studies, all of them but one brain was tested for CTE.
Well, yeah, these guys are getting hit 100 times a day in the head. That doesn't surprise me.
No, but it raised some concerns because, you know, that's a very alarming number. Now, the problem with this study is these brains are getting donated after these players have passed away. So what that tells you is that there is inclinations in these families thought they probably had CTE before, and this just kind of confirmed it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, if these guys are dying, they probably had CTE. Like, how many guys are dying and then they're like, oh, that guy played a little football, maybe we should try him too.
Yeah, so that was actually huge news. It came out Wednesday. But here's another issue. Like, we don't know the baseline. Like, what's the baseline for a normal person in CTE, you know?
Right.
We have no clue. So there's a lot of questions raised. Okay. With it.
Yeah, I was listening to Pardon My Take on my way back to Alexandria today, and Big Cat and PFT were talking about that and how they're saying, like, oh, how many punters did they test?
Yeah, you don't know. It's all kind of out there. And okay, so I got a question for you.
What's that?
If and when your poor soul recreates and you have a son, will you let him play football?
Me?
Yep.
Yeah?
Really? I say no.
You're not letting your son play football?
I don't think so.
Huh.
I
that's a take.
I think it's gonna be a very popular one. I just don't want the worry of it.
You think football's gonna die?
I think in the next 15 to 20 years, we're gonna see someone die on the field during a game, and I think that's gonna change the game forever.
Huh? Why now?
Because the guys are getting bigger, faster, stronger.
Huh. That's an interesting take.
You have defensive ends that run as quick as wide receivers and hit as hard as guys who are 100 pounds more than them and jump just as high and everything. Dude, I don't think it's like probable. I just think, like, mathematically, I think the number of hits and everything, I think it's going to happen.
Man, only time will tell.
Yeah. So I love football. I'll watch every game. I'll watch college football. I love it all. And they're doing steps to prevent it. They don't target the heads anymore and stuff, which is a great, great thing. And they eliminated the wedge for kickoffs, which is great because that was insanely dangerous. I just think there's going to be a turning point sometime, and the NFL is a bubble right now, and it's got to burst sometime.
Yeah. So. Really interesting topic.
It is, and it's going to it lights the fire a little bit, but it'll be interesting to see. So yep. Moving on to our last topic of the night. So this came up on Twitter last week. I put it up, and it actually got like a ton of responses. And the question was, if you could change one moment or game in sports history, which one would you pick and why? So we had a ton of answers, but I want to hear what you would say.
Well, yeah, I was I honestly thought about this really hard for a long time, and I couldn't come up with anything. Like, the only things I could ever think of were, like, personal experiences, like, not, like, professional sports, but, like, okay, like, Warroad got second in sections, like, oh, sweet, they missed state, whatever. But I was like, okay, no one wants to hear about that. So, and then the other stuff with professional sports with Minnesota teams is, like, okay, if I pick this game, they're going to go on and lose in the next round of playoffs, and it won't matter anyway. So that was just, like, my brain, my Minnesota brain coming up with hypotheticals. But my official answer is 2008 Minnesota Twins, game 163.
Tommy.
What? Tommy. That is my answer. The Tommy solo shot in the seventh inning.
Man, I remember that game. Kadir got thrown out at home that game, too.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, that game was insane. Game 163. You know what's fun about Minnesota fans is no one remembers that because we win game 163 the year after.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, too.
Well, that's like, otherwise. In my brain, that's like the Twins game I've always, like, gone back to now.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Was it Alexi Casilla that hit the game-winning single?
It sounds right.
Who was involved? It was either the runner or the hitter. I can't remember. That game was sick. Yeah.
I think Luis Castillo
hit it. He might have. I think he did. Luis Castillo hit, like, a game-tying homer in the seventh, and that was just a wild, wild game. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, going back to my point, the White Sox went on to lose to Tampa in the first round of the legit playoffs, and that they lost in four games, and then Tampa went on to lose to Philly in five in the World Series. So it's not like the Twins were going to, like, go on and win the World Series after that.
Okay, I can see you there. That's fair. My official answer, and it was a pretty easy one for me, was 2009 NFC Championship, because I fully believe the Vikings were going to take the Super Bowl.
I did not see your choice coming.
Come on, man. Dude, there were mistakes in that game. AP fumbled like 800 times. There's 19 seconds left in the game. It's a tie game. And we have a 51-yard field goal opportunity. And we go to take the field goal, but there's 12 men in the huddle. Out of a timeout, Petter. We had 12 men in the huddle off a timeout. People forget this. So, it was the fullback. It was Tahi. So, boom, we're back up to 56. What do? We put the offense back out. Get a couple yards, so be it. Let's do that. So, what does old Brett do? Brett throws it across his body, across the middle, and Tracy Porter picks it off. Okay, and he almost took it to the house. We're lucky we tackled him. Overtime. Saints drive down, bounty gate, they win the game. And then they end up beating Peyton and the Colts in the championship in a shitty game that I hate watched. And in the whole time, I'm just thinking, dude, the Vikings had this game. They had it. And that's when you say, like, oh, it didn't matter because it was regular season. They would have lost the next round. The Vikings would have won the fucking Super Bowl.
I love how you're just 100% convinced. You're just
there's no opinion. It was fact, dude. That team was stacked. We had Percy Harvin was still a good football player. Brett Favre was back to his old self. We had vintage AP. Sidney Rice was like a really good wide receiver at the time because of Brett Favre. Our defense was legit. Chad Greenway was like a Pro Bowler. We had a ton of Pro Bowlers on that team. Jared Allen had like 20 sacks that year.
Yeah.
Like, it was sick. Everything was lined up. We beat the shit out of the Cowboys in the round before. Beat the living tar out of them. So fun to watch. And then we go into that game and we had so many opportunities and we just fucked it up in the most Minnesota fashion. God damn it. We had Ryan Longwell. Ryan Longwell was the most consistent kicker ever back then. And we go too many men in the huddle. How do you do that out of a timeout? It bothers me to this day. It's so sick. It's so fucking sickening. And so then on Twitter we had some other answers. 98 was really popular.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. That team was 15-1 and it was going to redefine the league. last season, not this past season, the season before, obviously Blair Walsh.
Another really consistent kicker.
Yeah, Blair Walsh wide left from 27 yards out or whatever it was. And that one was bad. That one was really bad because that defense was sick.
I almost legitimately cried.
It was at TCF Bank, like one of the coldest games ever, Minnesota style game, and then just Blair Walsh just hooks it.
Yeah, well, as soon as he touched that ball, everyone was just like, "Oh my gosh!"
And just the heartbreak, man. And so there's that. The only other, as a Minnesota sports fan, moment I could think of was the Wild in 03. They went to the conference championship. Then they ran into J.S. Shiger, who shut him off three games straight. If we score once in game one, maybe that whole series is different, you know?
Yeah.
But we don't. And they were an eight seed. That's when they ended Patrick Waugh's career in 03, the Wild did, in the first round.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, see, like, I as a kid, I was all college hockey. Like, I didn't even pay attention to NHL at all.
Okay, see, if you want to talk college hockey as a Gopher fan, you could talk 2014 when the team lost to fucking Shane Gostisbehere in Union in the national championship game. Like, I would have taken that, or...
I would have taken the Gophers' win over the Sioux with the one-handed swipe goal.
See, but that was only conference championship, man. That wasn't NCAAs.
I don't care. That was heartbreaking.
That was amazing, and I want that moment forever. Shout out to you, Blake Wheeler. Your Final Five overtime diving goal will go down in history, and I love you for it. I thought you were going to say 0.6, take 0.6 back.
Huh?
The 0.6 game.
Oh, yeah, that too. Oof.
Because that was the game where Gophers going to lose the Union because that was the semifinals of the championship of the NCAA.
Yeah,
but,
that's a good one.
So I mean there's heartbreak in Minnesota go together, man. It's poetic at this point. It's sickening. I wrote about it. It's whenever there's a certain point in a game or a season, you can search Twitter and social media and you can just see everyone thinking of the worst case scenario. And it's just the worst.
It's never ending.
But hopefully it will make that one victory sweeter.
Right.
And you know, I was looking back at this since I think it's like 2000 or 2001. Ever since I became really a sports fan, all four pro Minnesota sports have been to one conference championship.
Really?
So you have the Twins in, what was it, 02, 03? When they were playing the Angels. The Angels went on to win.
The World Series or just that one?
The World Series.
Oh, okay.
That's when they had, like, I can't remember what the guy's name back then. So you got that. You have the Timberwolves in 04, I believe, when KG was the MVP.
Yeah.
You have Vikings in 09.
Mm-hmm.
And who am I missing?
Wild.
03. 02, 03. But no team since 09.
That's bad. Yeah. That is not a good streak.
Not great, but it goes to show, man. Like, so
who's going to be next?
Ooh, that's a great question. Why?
I have to lean Timberwolves.
Shit, man. After what's going on, we didn't even talk about this, dude. How about the fact that Kyrie Irving is legitimately possible going to be a Minnesota Timberwolf?
Top four. He listed four teams.
I can't believe we haven't talked about this. I guess it's been going on for like a week now.
Yeah.
Dude, there's like Vegas odds that say the Wild are the favorite to land him.
The Wolves?
Or not the Wild, the Timberwolves.
He wants to play with Jimmy.
It's wild to me, but we live in an age now where the Timberwolves are a destination team now.
It's not a destination place, but apparently they're a pretty decent team.
This team hasn't made the playoffs since YouTube was invented. That's a fact.
Hey,
and now we're a destination team? Wild times, dude. I swear I haven't watched a full Timberwolves game since 04 when Garnett was MVP and we had Sam Cassell and Latrell Sprewell and we were rocking with Wally Szczerbiak on the wing. I'm legitimately very, very interested, even if we don't get Kyrie. I think this team, I hear Kat is like an all-world player. Jimmy Butler's a top 15, 20 player in the league right now. Wiggins, if he's on the team or not, is like an all-star defender and everything. So I don't know, man. Maybe this team's going to make some noise. The only problem is Golden State's going to shoot the ball from wherever they want and make it 85% of the time. But right. We'll play that when we come to it. So the Kyrie thing is interesting. I mean, if we end up getting him, that's going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah. And like it's like even if they don't, it's just nice to know like everyone realizes that the Wolves are like this good now. Like you said, they haven't made the playoffs in decades, it seems like. And then like now they're obviously expected to make the playoffs this year, if not make a run deep into the playoffs.
It's mind-boggling to me, man. It's wild. And I saw a Vegas odd. Okay, so LeBron does these like one-year deals because he's LeBron and he does whatever he wants. There's speculation already that he's going to leave Cleveland again after next year, which I pray happens because I just want to see the world burn in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Are they going to burn his jersey again? I hope so. I can never get enough
of jerseys. Have to. Someone will.
I saw like Gordon Hayward left Utah to go to Boston, and I saw like the most polite jersey burning. Like they can't be mad over there, man. If LeBron leaves again, they were taking odds on where he'd go next, and you had like I think like the Lakers were number one and all that. The Timberwolves are like the fourth or fifth highest team
to win,
to get LeBron.
Oh, to get LeBron? No thanks.
You would not take LeBron?
No,
you're an idiot.
No, I don't want him to be our salvation, and I want to win without him.
So hold on, you would take the chance of winning with Golden State the way they are right now. You would take the chance of winning, which is probably like 10% at best, instead of getting LeBron and like having a decent shot at a ring.
Yeah, I haven't like you just said. I haven't watched an NBA game either. It's not like I'm invested. And my hate for LeBron makes it like I wouldn't care to watch. Like I didn't watch LeBron in their series this past year. I watched Kyrie because he's a lot more fun to watch.
I'm trying to wrap my head around this right now. You're saying that you would if LeBron said I want to sign in Minnesota,
I would not be a fan.
Okay, so we're 32 almost 33 minutes into this podcast and you might have said the dumbest thing ever.
Hopefully people aren't listening anymore, but no, I stand by that. No, I don't want LeBron. No,
this is a Hall of Famer, dude. First off, you're fucking insane, dude. I'm not LeBron's antics off the courts are childish, whatever. I don't care. The guy is like a top three basketball player of all time. I would take him in a heartbeat.
No, I'd rather be above average, like make a run, maybe make it to the finals and lose, whatever, than to win the finals with LeBron. Because if you win the finals with LeBron, it's because of LeBron.
And that's fine by me.
I don't like that. No, I don't want LeBron to go to five different cities and win five different rings with five different teams. No,
I do not give a fuck. I will. This state needs a championship so bad. Sell our souls however we can. I don't
absolutely
care.
Absolutely not. I've waited this long. I'd rather earn it without LeBron selling out.
Also be an interesting, we'll have to put this one up on Twitter because I couldn't be more disagreeing with you.
Perfect. We'll do a Petters poll.
Oh, yeah. We got to bring those back.
We do.
All right. I think that your fucking highly irrational take, we'll have to end this show. we'll be back next week sometime. Hopefully we have some. Oh, we can. The deadline's coming up soon, so we'll have news from that. And
I can't wait to see what Skev says about my LeBron take. To be honest.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely texting him after this. It will probably have to happen for a little bit for the next one.
Yikes.
That's gonna be interesting. So, thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you next week.
Have a good one, guys.